the New World Report. I'm John Batzel with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College in Central America. Guatemala is holding an election soon enough, but the news is various. With just a month to go, Reuters reporting from Guatemala City, this is one of the three members of the Northern Triangle that was said originally to be the source of migrants at the Mexican border. Now there are other claimants to that title. But with just a month to go before Guatemalan voters will pick a new president, the country's top court ruled to leave the frontrunner in polls out of the election. Last week, conservative businessman Carlos Pineda was deemed ineligible to run by a lower court. He appealed the 11th-hour rejection from the ballot. Corruption won. Guatemala lost, Pineda wrote on Twitter after the decision. His exclusion from the June 25 vote. Professor, again, Guatemala is one of the nations I believe that the U.S. feels comfortable with when talking about the migration story. There are other issues in the Northern Triangle. There's poverty, there's violence. The narco-terrorist gangs seem to have a complete run of the country. What does this mean that Pineda is being blocked? Is this a move by the authoritarians or is it just chaos?
Well, in my judgment, John, this is for the other positive aspects of the GMT government. As you mentioned, he's been cooperative with the United States on migration. He's resisted, flipping Guatemala's diplomatic relations to China. He's supported U.S. positions in other areas. But one of the problems that we've seen with many of the governments in the region, and Guatemala is certainly one of them, is a desire by elites who might be imputed for their ties and corruption to use their control over the judicial system, to use their control over other parts of the governance, to perpetuate themselves in power, at least to perpetuate like-minded actors who are not going to subsequently, prosecute them and things like that. So with Guatemala's June 25th elections, which will decide a total of, not only the presidency and vice presidency, all members of Congress, members of the Central American Parliament, and all of the mayors of the 340 municipalities in Guatemala. So a lot at stake. But a series of different, anti-system candidates have been disqualified on technicalities. First, it was Roberto Arzu and Thelma Cabrera, basically for misfiling paperwork. So most recently, of course, you had another kind of anti-system, or at least not well aligned frontrunner, Carlos Pineda, a conservative populist who was polling 22% in the polls. Again, he was basically just disqualified, and the high court ratified the ruling of a local court that he was being disqualified because of the way his party selected him as candidate. There's even some question now that one of the other non-system candidates, Edmund Mullet, may be disqualified because of a series of public comments suggested that he started his candidacy too early. No surprise, that leaves Sandra Torres, the wife of the former President Alberto Colon of UNE, as well as Zuri Rios, who is related to the Rios Montt, the former dictator of the country. So what you basically see is the use of the courts and legal system to disqualify candidates who may be threatening to the status quo. And at the end of the day, going back to our migration talk, when we say, well, why is there this persistent lack of economic opportunity, lack of investment, violence, et cetera, et cetera? The loss of faith of people with the quality of democracy in the region and the associated lack of opportunity is part of the problem. And I think we're seeing that in Guatemala. So the concern not only is what is happening in Guatemala, but where the disillusionment of the people with Guatemala with that the performance of their democratic system could take the country in the future, which is where we've seen things go with the swing of the pendulum in other countries in the region.
What you're describing is a country that's in the grip of a small number of very well-to-do people. And inferentially, that's a driver of migration, not a reason to stay in the country. I'm guessing here, but I understood that Guatemala City was welcoming to U.S. officials. Certainly it welcomed the vice president's visit in 21. Is the future in Guatemala now to be regarded as uncertain because of this authoritarianism?
Well, this goes back to the dilemmas that the U.S. often had to face during the Cold War, also, you know, what was often termed as cozying up to right-wing dictators. So the Guatemalan regime of Giamatti is relatively U.S. aligned. Vice President Harris came down to Guatemala and, you know, actually, her visit was often not taken well by some in Guatemalan society because she was seen as being very, very imposing, towards the regime. But there's really a circular relationship, John, again and again with these things. And we're seeing it play out across the region that, with the drug flows, with the other type of corruption, you have gang violence, you have a loss of faith in democracy. And in some cases, you have conservative regimes that hold on to their power and privileges that come out of the corruption. In other cases, you have, populist leaders who come in and take the country in a more radical leftist direction, as we're seeing in neighboring Honduras with Xiomara Castro, or in a populist rightist direction, just, you know, throw all the bad folks and gangs in jail, as we're seeing with Nayib Bukele in El Salvador. So the problem is whether it's, you know, the conservatives hanging on to power and in corruption, or whether it's turning to an anti-U.S. populist direction. All of those dynamics that come out of, you know, the corrupting impacts of drugs and violence and economic opportunity really take the region and their cooperation with the United States over the long term in some very negative direction. And so the question is, do you stick up for democracy, but, you know, potentially create a problem for yourself with the regime? Or do you cozy up with elites who are seen as anti-democratic and then find yourself on the bad side of the regime that eventually comes in and replaces them? So how to deal with a corrupt group of families that are trying to rig the system to hold on to their power. That might get us points now, but the fear is that where Guatemala could be going later will be very, very worrisome if we don't manage our posture towards democracy now.
And the Guatemala remains an unknown then. We haven't determined. We'll come to the vote on June 25th, and then we'll decide the day forward. But Pineda is now off the ballot, and that cannot end well. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. This is the New World Report.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.